Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Let's go, North America! It's Major League Baseball opening day, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It's me, Miraz, with Bogish in here on the DA Show. DA taking a couple days off, doing a little summer weekend, which if you're a fan of the DA Show, you know these weekends happen fast and furious in the summer. For DA, Bogish and I, along the way, we've talked a lot. MLB opening day coming up. We still have Bob Nightingale coming up in about 20 minutes. USA Today, lead MLB senior writer. He'll talk on preview of the season with us. We did a little NFL. Masks on. If you want to attend a game at an NFL stadium this year, including down in Atlanta, you got to wear a mask to a game. We did the NBA earlier this morning as we got to see what that will look like on TV. And plenty more to come to. We still have Stundo and News to get into. We still have your epic fail. Plus, your deep analytics, your poll question today, Bogish. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. We've done so many of these Mothership at the Movies. And I believe next week, there's been a lot of questions about where we're going. I think we will be doing Angels in the Outfield, another great baseball classic, which if you've never seen the movie, look at the cast in that movie. It's incredible. But with all the movies that we've done, a lot of baseball movies, we had to dwindle this down for social media purposes for two answers. We really could have gone with about 10. But Bogish, who would you rather have on your opening day roster, Roy Hobbs or Henry Rowengardner?
It's a good question, Sean. I like our synergy combining opening day and Mothership at the Movies throughout this whole spring and summer. I'm going to have to go with...
You're right. By the way, Bogish, your idea. This was your idea.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. So I do Thank you for pointing that out. It's an indirect way to compliment myself on the back. See, I feel like I do it a little more skill. You're just like, hey, guys, by the way, this is what I did. Tell me I did a good job. Please, please. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, great. I think the answer is Roy Hobbs. I mean, we both hated the natural, so give me rookie of the year over the natural 11 times out of 10. But Roy Hobbs was the better player than Henry Rowengardner. He's a man. His skills were not based on a weirdly healed shoulder elbow issue. So I think Roy Hobbs is the answer. Plus, offense is always helpful.
It is always helpful. I'm going to go Henry Rowengardner for this reason. I just can't trust Roy Hobbs' health. Now, I know in the end, if Henry Rowengardner slips and falls and hurts that arm again, it's going to go the other way. So I know that it's kind of a ticking time bomb. It's almost like a UCL where you're waiting to see if Rowengardner is going to need Tommy John. But I look at it this way. I mean, any home run swing that happens there as well, you're worried about that internal bleeding for Roy Hobbs. And look, as we could see, he could be manipulated in a situation on the road, meets a woman, next thing you know, his head's in the sand. I'm going to go Henry Rowan Gardner. I don't think women will ever be a distraction for a 13-year-old like Rowan Gardner. He's still in it for the love of the game. And ultimately, when you come to the postseason, and I know this is about the opening day roster, pitching's going to win a ring. And the Cubs, although they lost Rowan Gardner in the World Series, we've seen in the past that a Henry Rowan Gardner team can win a World Series. The New York Knights with Roy Hobbs, we believe, don't end up winning a World Series. So for my money, if I'm going into a season and I have one of the two on my opening day roster, I'd rather Henry Rowan Gardner than Roy Hobbs.
Yeah, you make a good point. You really, shame on me for overlooking Roy Hobbs' knack for finding women who actually try to or want to kill him. I mean, that is something that he's really good at. Shot by one woman, another shot in his general direction. I mean, that's 0 for 2, and most of us have zero of those scenarios. He's got two of them. So that might keep him out of my lineup. So maybe Henry is somehow the safer choice here, but I still think I'm going with Roy and rolling those dice.
So you could vote on that. Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, Facebook, facebook.com/the DA Show. We'll have the deep analytics on that. Who would you rather on your opening day roster, Roy Hobbs or Henry Rowan Gardner, as we hear on opening day? The Dodgers open up later this evening, Bogus facing the San Francisco Giants. I believe we get Clayton Kershaw on the hill tonight, not Walker Buehler, if I have my memory serves.
And Kershaw and Cueto.
Johnny Cueto, San Francisco Giants. A little rivalry to start there. That'll be the game that follows the Yankees and the Nats later on. And one person that will be in that opening day roster is Mookie Betts. Now, Mookie traded to the Dodgers in the offseason, had 1 year remaining. For the life of me, I still can't figure out why the Boston Red Sox, a team who's supposed to have endless pockets, would trade their generational star player and not look to lock him up. But the Dodgers, amidst what should be a very suspect financial landscape, right? Because the coronavirus's financial impacts on the country as a whole, as the world, on the world as a whole, and individual companies as a whole, are still very unknown. They've been bad in a lot of ways, and that's part of the reason a lot of people have really revved up and want to get things really cooking here is to keep the economy churning. But look, lost revenue from fans in the stadiums, lost TV revenue to a certain extent because you're only playing 60 games, and there's no telling when the next CBA rolls around in another year or so what the fallout could be from that. Are these two sides going to damage the league long-term and keep fans away if they're at each other's throats? There are a lot of questions financially long-term about the game. The Dodgers, though, go all in. They don't even wait to see in the offseason, which we all figured, Bogus, I'm assuming you figured this way too, that this offseason in Major League Baseball was going to be really tough on free agents, even the big ones, where they might have to hold out a lot like Bryce Harper did, and the owners still could find a way to win money over on guys like this or JT Realmuto and find a way to pay them less. But Mookie Betts instead gets $365 million for another 12 years. He's playing this year, so it's a 13-year, $392 million total contract, a little prorated with off of what's happening this year for the Dodgers. That is an unbelievable amount of money, money that, in baseball terms, Mookie Betts has absolutely earned. I am not personally surprised that the Dodgers locked up Mookie Betts, because when you trade for a guy of that caliber and you're in a big market and you have 1 year left on his deal, my assumption was they would find a way to get a deal done with him. Now, I'm a little surprised that they go and pay him this much money before he's played a single game with them, and knowing the financial fallout, knowing they probably could have played a cat-and-mouse game if Mookie liked it in L.A. this offseason, got it to less money. Your thoughts, Bogus? You're surprised at the deal we saw yesterday with Mookie Betts?
Yeah, I mean, I really am. I thought part of the reason why Betts was out of Boston was because he wanted to be on the open market, and the Red Sox were afraid that they would lose him for nothing, so they dealt him for nothing, depending on what you value and what they got back from the Dodgers. But in this current climate, to see this yesterday was a little startling. Plus, you know, the story then comes out that, well, since this is done now, they must have been talking about this for a while before anything got really bad. So that's why this happens in this situation. But if there was ever going to be something that makes you hesitate on signing someone for 12 years and $300+ million, it would be the current situation we're in. I know why he wants security, but if I'm the Dodgers and I want to cry poor, or at least I have the threat of being poor after all of this, I go, all right, Mook, let's just wait a little bit. Give me a couple of months to see what, you know, what, how this all plays out, Mook. And then we'll come back to the table.
I love you calling him Mook, like you know him. Yeah, hey, Mook, of course. Come on over here. Mook, you want to go to Applebee's?
Andrew Friedman. So, like, they, you'd think that this would make them hit the pause button no matter when these conversations started, but now here they are, and I get why they'd want him, but you'd think that they would at least hesitate a little here, so I don't want to read too much into this, but I also never want to hear someone tell me again that they're afraid that they don't have money and they're not in this for making money and that, you know, they need all the help they can get when the Dodgers in the worst or at least the most unknown economic feeling and atmosphere that we can all remember just gave this guy $365 million for the next dozen years.
Yeah, the owner is now crying poor. Remember the St. Louis Cardinals? Oh, we're going to lose money. We don't make any money.
Yeah, we're not in this for profits.
You could hand out this check if you're the Dodgers without having any idea where this is going is just a joke. Now, I do think the element of wanting to be a free agent and wanting to test the open market, I think, like all of us needing to adapt and change, I think Mookie Betts needed to change his mindset a little bit because, like we just pointed out, this could have been a real gamble. If the Dodgers came to this and said, we don't even want to fool around this offseason, this is a number we like, and this is what they presented Mookie and his agent with, to me, I don't blame Mookie Betts for running and saying, you know what, 13-year security in this economy, I got to take it and be damned if I'm going to test being a free agent. And maybe a little seller's remorse if you're the Boston Red Sox now that perhaps this could have been you in this climate. Now, you could have never saw a pandemic coming where you said, you know what, now Mookie maybe doesn't want to test free agency, wants security, wants to lock it up. But ultimately, I think there's no way you look at this situation, Mookie Betts, and think that he wanted to be a Boston Red Sox, ultimately. We could talk about testing the free agent waters all we want. The idea that this day and age, in Major League Baseball, with no salary cap, there is a player on the Boston Red Sox, on the New York Yankees, on the Los Angeles Dodgers specifically, you could even throw the Chicago Cubs in there as well, that is a superstar, that if he wants to remain with said team that has endless pockets and he deserves big-time money, there is no way that player should ever not play for that team ever again unless he simply does not want to be with that organization, does not want to be in that city. So all the talk about Mookie Betts just wants to test free agency and the Red Sox thought, well, maybe we can lose out to the highest bidder. No, no, no. You're the Boston freaking Red Sox. You have the money to pay Mookie Betts. This, to me, tells me behind the scenes, Mookie Betts did not want to be a Boston Red Sox, because if he wanted to be a Boston Red Sox, he would not have basically forced a hand or left any inclination that he could be leaving, number one. Number two, this kind of deal, I'm sorry, could have been had by Boston, because you'd be foolish if you're a team with that kind of money to spend to not lock up a generational player, because there is nobody, with all due respect to, you know, Devers and Benintendi and even Chris Sale, I know is hurting out this year. Go down the line, and Boston has a lot of good young talent. Nobody who could sniff Mookie Betts' jockstrap. Now that you want, not that you'd want to do that, you shouldn't be sniffing jockstraps right now during the coronavirus pandemic. Anyway,
really,
but there's
anytime.
Nobody in Boston that sniffs that. The Dodgers have Cody Bellinger. They have somebody who could sniff Mookie Betts' jockstrap, and they didn't care. They made sure they paid him whatever they could. They've built this lineup. They are World Series favorites. They should be favorites now with those two conceivably in that lineup for the next decade. As favorites for the next decade, and Dodger baseball is built on success, and the Red Sox look like a disaster, and the only excuse out there is that Mookie Betts simply, and the Red Sox knew this, did not want to be in Boston.
Yeah, which I think sometimes sports radio callers and tweeters forget, that this is not just like a GM, like, oh, go trade for that guy. Well, I need the other guy to actually give me the player you want for the crap package that you just suggested. Or like the Red Sox have to re-sign Mookie Betts. Now, there could be blame if the Red Sox organization, for whatever reason, created situations that Mookie Betts didn't like, and that's why Mookie Betts wants to leave. But if Mookie Betts just doesn't want to be a Red Sox, maybe he doesn't like winters. Maybe he doesn't like Boston. Maybe he just always dreamt of being a Dodger, or he wants to play on the West Coast. There could be reasons that have nothing to do with the Red Sox. It's not their fault that he wants to go. Now, we can then debate how they got rid of him and what they got back for him. but sometimes your hands are tied. And the Red Sox, not let them off the hook, because again, this could be their fault, but maybe it's not. Maybe they had no other choice. And then when you know that, if Mookie Betts was honest and said, listen, I don't want to be here anymore, or I can't guarantee you that even if you have the best offer, that I'm going to take it from you, then they had to trade him, and then it's better to trade him earlier rather than later because his value is more when the other team is getting him for longer. So, you know, I would agree with you 100% in that this proves that it was not going to work for whatever reason in Boston, and the Red Sox had to move on. It might have been their fault. It might not have been their fault, but clearly he was not destined to be there long-term, and the Dodgers, because they put themselves in this position as an organization, were there to pounce and now take advantage of it, and I guess in just a handful of months, prove to him that they're a place that he should be for the rest of his career, basically.
Yeah, and I mentioned the World Series favorite part of this. Top of the next hour, Bogus and I, to encompass and start the last hour as we head into opening day, we're going to do a couple predictions. We may even throw some MLB over-unders at you. Have some fun as we're talking real baseball, Bogus. It's been so refreshing all morning talking, you know, Mookie Betts signing a contract, games being played, World Series favorites. Certainly plenty on tap. And we do have Bob Nightingale coming up from USA Today to look into opening day, answer our questions. We'll do a little Mookie Betts with him, I'm sure. But tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, what it means to be me will reveal the complexity of what it means to be black in America. Don't miss as Grant Hill, Lisa Leslie, Nate Burleson, and much more give their take on the subject. It's CBS Sports Connected on CBS Sports Network. Okay, when we come back, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We are on the verge of real baseball being played. Fears, concerns, where the heck are the Blue Jays going to play? What does the Mookie Betts deal make? There's plenty to get into it, Bob. Next, it's the DA Show with Mraz and Bogus next on CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is opening day, and it's the DA Show here, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can check us out, radio.com, all of our great affiliates, SiriusXM 206. We're on Twitch now. The watchda.com is going. There's like a million places you should be locked into the show this morning, Bogish. And here we are on MLB opening day, and joining us now, the great Bob Nightingale from USA Today, sports Major League Baseball columnist, Entercom Radio Sports Insider as well. Bob, you're joining us here on the DA Show. Welcome aboard. Happy opening day. It's Mraz. It's Bogus. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you joining us. So let's just get right into it. Obviously, the MLB not going with the bubble plan some of the other sports are going into. We've already ran into some problems here in Toronto, but it's refreshing to know that we're going to play games that count. It's a 60-game sprint. I think something that now we've turned the page and woken up this morning that a lot more fans are excited about than maybe nervous about. Where do you think the players stand heading into today and tomorrow? Is there a lot of excitement buzzing, or is there still some cautious optimism where you're a little hesitant and wondering, can this thing work?
No, I think there's a ton of optimism about it. I really do. I think there was a lot of apprehension early on, particularly when the tests weren't getting back, you know, in time. We had 5 teams cancel workouts. But the way it's worked now, particularly with the, so few guys testing positive, just, you know, 5 players last week, so 0.5%. Even Mike Trout yesterday was on the phone saying, you know, I have my reservations. You know, now I'm all in. I believe this is going to work.
And, Bob, let's talk, I guess, about the Toronto Jays situation that Sean just alluded to. About 24 hours ago, we had them in Pittsburgh for basically this entire summer, and then someone forgot to ask Pennsylvania if that was allowed. Is that really how this all fell apart?
Yeah, everything was all set, and the Blue Jays were told they're coming, and the Pirates had signed off on it. And then the Department of Health said, no, wait a minute now. And, I think the same thing kind of happened in Toronto. We're in the mayor of Toronto, everything else, everybody gave a permission, but not the government. And so, now they're nomads. I mean, right now, Baltimore Orioles say, okay, you can play at our park. Well, let's see what Maryland does. So you feel for the Blue Jays. You also, that's the one worry you have is, Well, what if other states start doing this? Say, you know what? Hey, the state of California is a hot spot. Maybe we don't want our California teams in there. So I think that's the only big fear for baseball, is they can police themselves and believe guys can be safe. But, hey, if government officials and stuff, you know, don't allow teams in, you know, they don't have a sport.
Bob, well, Nightingale, Bob, let me just... go ahead, folks.
I just want to piggyback off of that because we got to Pittsburgh, we had Baltimore, because all of the minor league cities that kind of openly said, hey, you know, Toronto, you can come here, they were all kind of disqualified for various infrastructure reasons. Is that something baseball will revisit and maybe be okay with some of those things to have, you know, the Jays in their own safe spot as opposed to jamming them into Baltimore or even making them play only road games for an entire summer?
I don't think they want to do all the road games. I mean, that's just a, you know, first of all, that's kind of unsafe, too, for the Blue Jays. I mean, you don't want to be traveling nonstop. You don't want to be in a place for, you know, 3 days at a time. Just, you know, where do you down? And, you know, weakens your immune system. So worst comes to worst, I think they would just play at Buffalo, you know, their minor league spot. And, you know, if I were the Blue Jays, I'd go back to Tampa. I would share that complex with the Rays at Tropicana Field, and you still get your spring training site in Dunedin. I know Florida's a hot spot. Well, New York was a hot spot, you know, about a month ago, too, so you just never know.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale joining us from USA Today. And on that point, everybody keeps bringing up, and I know that the clubhouses and the spacing, but the lighting issue seems to be a big deal in Buffalo and some of these minor league parks, that it's not up to the major league lighting. My follow-up to that would be, and something I've really wanted to know is, and when you look at the major league schedules, particularly during the week, with so many Americans working from home, kids home from camps, why are there not more day games on the Major League Baseball schedule like you're seeing in some of these other sports? And wouldn't that be a perfect opportunity if you were making a Blue Jay team play in Buffalo to play a lot more games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where the lighting issue really shouldn't come into play and shouldn't be a worry? Did Major League Baseball drop the ball by not trying to capitalize with the younger audience and making more day games in the 60-game sprint, especially now with this Blue Jay situation?
Well, yeah, it's going to be made for TV season. I mean, there's so many night games just for TV ratings. That was the bottom line. Kids aren't in school anyway. You're not going to get as many eyes on the game during the day as you will at night. So, you know, even all these games, too, are prime time with a geographical play the way it is. It's like, you know, you don't have to stay up at 10 or 11 o'clock at night when your team's on the West Coast. You know, it's right there at the 6 to 8 o'clock period. So, yeah, strictly for TV. And I know, you know, the Blue Jays games, you know, Toronto doesn't count for the Nielsen ratings, but still they're playing somebody, so those games count in that market. So I don't see the day games. I don't think they're going to play them.
Bob, before we get first pitch in D.C. tonight, are we going to have expanded playoffs?
I don't think so. MLB's never given up hope on that. Even when they Rob Manfred had to mandate the season, they kept saying, well, we'd still like to have expanded playoffs, so, you know, see if we can do it. Hey, the season starts today. You're still going to get approval from all the players. The one thing, you know, that MLB presents the players is, hey, if you win a World Series, you may not get a penny out of it because right now you get proceeds from the gate. Well, there's no fans, there's no gate receipts. No gate receipts, you won't get a dime. If there's no fans in the playoffs. So they're coming at them from that perspective. So we'll see. I have my doubts. I think it'd be a real long shot just if they couldn't get an agreement beforehand. You know, how they're going to get an agreement over this.
So one thing that Bogus and I talked about earlier in the show as a follow-up to that would be, and you just alluded to it a little bit, that when you make the World Series, you're supposed to collect all the gate money and there'll be no fans. So that is maybe a reason why, you know, no money, why no expanded playoffs. But if you're still having a postseason, you're still having five teams in each league, as a player, I would feel like I would want the expanded postseason because, hey, maybe I'm on a really good team that's a World Series favorite that gets off to a slow start. That could be a bailout. Or maybe I'm on a team that I didn't think would be as good in March that now in a 60-game season and eight teams in each league, I get to taste the postseason. And who knows, maybe we get hot and we get to a World Series. From a player's point of view, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want the expanded postseason.
You know, the players like it. You know, and you're absolutely right. It's just a, you know, what do you have to give in return? Does this mean that you can't file a grievance? Yeah, they give a pot of money for a playoff pool. You know, that's the trade-off for it. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, the players all want to be in the playoffs. So, you know, with the extra six teams, it gives teams that have, you know, no chance of 162-game season even a better chance. You'll have more flukes make it, and it certainly reduces the likelihood of a very good team getting left out. You know, like the Washington Nationals a year ago, obviously never would have made the playoffs. So if there's only 10 teams make it this year, I guarantee you there's going to be some very good teams that get left on the outside here.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB senior writer with us here on the DA Show. That was going to be one of my questions, Bob. Everybody has talked about how crazy this 60-game sprint might be. And I'm wondering, and they are kind of interconnected, so I don't know if you can fully separate them, but to me it makes more sense that after 60 games, there'll be teams that were surprised didn't make the playoffs as opposed to somebody getting in that we never saw coming. I guess to me, like, a bad team is a bad team, whether it's 60 games or 162, but maybe a good team just picks the wrong time to struggle and then doesn't make it. Do you see a real outlier getting into the bracket, whether it's 10 or 16 teams, when we get to the end of September?
Well, certainly we have 16 teams, and we will. I mean, even a 10-team thing. You know, look a year ago at the All-Star break, the St. Louis Cardinals were only a half a game ahead of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, the Pirates were dreadful. The Cardinals had a slow start. So you never know. You saw how, you know, good the Cardinals were last year, win the division, get to the NLCS. So even the Rockies played well, you know, for the first 60 games. I think they're at least around 500. So that's what I think you can see, you know, some outliers get in. And that's the beauty of baseball. We're 162. You know, usually, you know, it's impossible to have a fluke team make it. You got to deserve it because it's such a long season. Now, you know, we'll definitely see some surprises. I mean, now some teams that normally would fade the second half. Well, there's no second half to fade.
Bob Nightingale joining us, USA Today. Bob, you were all over the Mookie Betts extension yesterday with your piece in USA Today on them being the World Series favorites for the foreseeable future. You know, we heard all along that Mookie Betts, the reason he bolted out of Boston or the Boston Red Sox traded him was he wanted to be a free agent. He wanted to feel being a free agent. You combine that with the fact that the uncertain economic change and impact on Major League Baseball is here. It struck me and Bogus both as very surprising yesterday that the Dodgers went and ponied up that much money before this season begins here, paying Mookie Betts. So I would guess on both ends, A, why did the Dodgers do this not knowing what the economic impact would be? And B, what changed for Mookie Betts as far as not wanting to test the free agent waters?
You know, I think Mookie Betts, you know, talking to him on the teleconference yesterday, was this: he fell in love with L.A., fell in love with the people there. He thinks they're, you know, going to be a great team for, you know, as long as he's going to be there. And they fell in love with him. I mean, when he had a team meeting the first day at camp, without even having met all the players, and telling him, hey, you better get your act together here if you want to win a World Series, let's take this thing seriously. They liked it. I mean, he showed that leadership skills right away. First guy in the field, you know, during the spring training 2.0. And I think, too, you know, Mookie said, you know what, you know, if I'm getting offered this kind of money, why would I want to test free agency? Good chance no one's going to give me that. It also takes the pressure off Mookie Betts. In 60-game season, what if he has a bad one and his leverage goes down? So he wasn't going to make it out any better than this. So I thought it was a no-lose thing for Mookie for sure. I think the Dodgers have stepped out and saying, well, we're doing this with no fans this year. What if there's no fans next year, too? So, but, you know, they got $8.5 billion TV contract, so it's certainly easier for them to take on, you know, risks and gambles.
Bob, last one for me, going back to that kind of outlier conversation where at least maybe surprise teams. Everyone, when actual spring training started, there's a lot of love for the Reds. It exists still now as games are about to start. Where are you on Cincinnati, and where are you on the NL Central as a whole?
I still like the Cardinals. I like the veteran teams. And the Cardinals, pretty much the same team going in. They got a very good pitching staff led by Jack Flaherty. You know, Wainwright never fades. So I like that team a lot. I don't dismiss the Cubs either, or the Brewers, but particularly the Cubs. just because it's the same group of guys that won the World Series and they were in the playoffs year after year. I'm not as sold on the Reds. I just think, you know, it's kind of a chic pick. But a lot of new faces, a lot of newcomers. I think, you know, in such a short season here, you got to come together quick. And I'm not sure they can do that. You're still going to have some team camaraderie and everything else, which is going to be tougher to do in this environment. So I like the teams that have been together rather than the youthful teams or teams with a lot of new faces. You know, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's the White Sox or the young players, or the Potters or young players. I think those, particularly the White Sox and Padres, I think they're a good year away. And the Reds, I just don't know if they can come together this quick.
Bob Nightingale is USA Today's Major League Baseball columnist, senior writer there, Entercom Radio Sports Insider on the MLB Network. You can catch him. Bob, we're so happy to have real baseball back. We're so happy to be breaking down real games. We got to get at you soon. We appreciate you joining the show and your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Sir, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob Nightingale, who, I mean, bogus, by the way, could you imagine having 258,000 Twitter followers? That's how big a baseball presence Bob Nightingale is on Twitter. That is insane. Absolutely
yeah,
insane.
Every time, I stumble on a successful tweet that, like, at least makes my account and my tweet deck buzz a little bit, while, I'm happy that it finally rarely happens, then I remember that, like, that's how some people's every tweet like happens. Like every time Bob Nightingale, or even, you know, even to another level, like a celebrity, like every time they tweet, they just get a bazillion interactions and replies and retweets. Like when I pass 100 on something, I want to almost celebrate. Like I feel like I should get like some kind of like little icon medal from Twitter, or like I should save these tweets. Like I forget, I wrote something last week that surprisingly got a lot of traction. I'm like, well, all right, fine. Because most times I write something and I'm proud of it and it gets nothing and it's so soul crushing. Right. But like every time Bob writes something like the Jays are going to Pittsburgh, the Jays aren't going to Pittsburgh, Mookie Betts is a Dodger, it just boop, 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 favorite retweet reply. But and now there's a lot of idiots in there too, which I avoid because most people avoid in general my tweets. But it must be nice to the validation constantly that people are actually paying attention to your thoughts and beliefs.
Now you know why I tweet at Mike Freeman and get mad with what he says.
Because
I get the validation. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Friend of the show, I will say friend of mine, Kerrigan is at LaGuardia. Kerrigan, you're on the DA show.
Sean, thanks for having me on. True pleasure. I would love to beam up if possible.
Well, Pete's back there. You're lucky you punched him up, so your beam up has been denied. What do you, what do you got for us?
Just be happy to be here, Kerrigan.
Here we go. Always happy to be here. Before I get into some opening day picks, Sean, can you name the countries that Woody Johnson is the ambassador to?
It's the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom. So you mean to tell me that the United Kingdom is more than England?
That is correct. Can you name the other countries?
Wales.
Okay, that's one.
Wow, that's okay. Ireland?
No.
Scotland.
That is another. That's correct. We got one more.
Greenland.
Nope.
Iceland.
These are all countries.
These are countries, largely islands.
One more. Another island?
It is
Liverpool.
It is part of Ireland. Liverpool is a city in the United Kingdom.
So hold on. I've gotten Wales, I've gotten Scotland, and I've gotten England.
Correct? Got one more.
And one more.
Well, and you've half said it already.
Where Rory McIlroy.
I half said it already?
Yes.
So it's like Greenland.
It's Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh. The Ire Islands.
Oh.
No,
boy.
That's a part of the Republic of Ireland, but please try again.
Oh. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know. Give it to me. I don't want to embarrass myself anymore.
Northern Ireland.
Hold on here. And we might have a real-time failure set up. You mean to tell me that there's two countries, an Ireland and a Northern Ireland, and Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, but Ireland is not?
Sean, there was a period of time of great unrest along these two countries, which we don't have time to go into. But yes, they are. One is, they're both part of the European zone. They use different currencies. There's a lot that goes into it, a religion, fights, but two different countries.
I never heard of Northern Ireland before. How about that? So the, I always it's, honestly...
It's amazing we went to the same high school, Sean. I tell myself that every day.
The United Kingdom. I honestly, at first, I think, I guess it makes sense because it's a kingdom that needs to be united. I just assumed it was all England. But
exactly.
I knew Wales was something because we had the Prince of Wales trophy in hockey, so I knew that had to be somewhere. But I really thought, I would have no idea that there was an Ireland and Northern Ireland. So when people go, oh, I'm going on a vacation to Ireland, they also, they have to differentiate that or Northern Ireland. How about that? Wow, so
they
Woody's
should.
Got a lot of responsibility, guys. A lot of responsibility.
A lot of responsibility.
All right, Kerry, what do you got for opening day?
I mean, after that, it's very hard to follow up. But like I said, the Yankees, they're going all the way. You know, we got a little caught up last year after a few playoff games that you and I both got very excited about. But the Yankees, I think they're going to do great. They don't got Henry Rowengardner opening for them today, but I feel like they're going to be very successful with Garrett Cole. That's what I got for the team.
All right, Kerrigan, enjoy your flight up to Syracuse. We'll see you at Bob's Bar soon. Look, we're going to make predictions coming up at the top of the hour. A wacky prediction. I want to do a couple over-unders. We'll see where this thing goes. I'm sure Bogus and I will probably just throw out a World Series winner. We'll just have some fun because it's baseball. It's opening day. So you like the Yankees to win it all. I think you could probably lean where I'm going to go with this as well. Bogus could probably predict that as well. We'll discuss that coming up at the top of the hour. We do have to at some point get back to, I cannot believe there's an Ireland and a Northern Ireland. That stuns me. It also stuns me. I didn't know there were four countries in this kingdom that needed to be united by Woody Johnson. But, Bogus, we're running out of time. We need your update.
Yeah, very quickly back to baseball. Nationals righty Max Scherzer throws the much-anticipated first pitch of the season tonight with the Yankees in town. Scherzer grateful to be at any game this summer.
There's just been a tremendous amount of work that everybody's had to do to get the season up and going. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be playing baseball in 2020. We have to jump through a lot of hoops, but it's, you know, that's just something that we're all comfortable doing, and we'll do anything too to be able to play baseball.
First pitch in D.C. tonight, 7:08 Eastern. The Nats unveil their World Series banner pregame. The Giants and Dodgers follow, as we just discussed. L.A. opening up the new season with a new extension for Mookie Betts. 12 years, $365 million on top of the prorated $27 million he's getting for this season. The NFL says fans, any fans at games this fall, will have to wear facial coverings. Antonio Brown says he wants to keep playing football. And Washington signs number 2 pick Chase Young to the standard 4-year rookie deal. It includes a $22.6 million signing bonus. And the Pelicans say Zion Williamson is getting tested daily while outside the bubble. Has been negative so far. The team says Zion will be back eventually, but there is still no timetable for that. If he and when he does come back, his amount of quarantine depends on how long he's been gone and those test results. It could be as short as just 4 days. Sean, back to you.
All right, when we come back, well, we have to follow up on the Ireland, Northern Ireland stuff. Plus, are the Blue Jays homeless? It's the DH Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
EA, CBS Sports Radio has gone full-blown Real Housewives. There's so much dissent on the DA show, and do you have Mraz's back or what?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live here on MLB opening day from my basement and Bogus' basement here on CBS Sports Radio. Bogus, did you do a little wardrobe change? We are on watchda.com and now Twitch, as Andrew Kaplan has us cooking. I thought Bogus wore a different color shirt before, unless I'm going crazy.
No, I did change my seat because I was like felt uncomfortably high and I was like crouching down to get into the microphones. Unlike you, I don't have a headset. I have just a mic on my desk, and I've got to be relatively close to it. to make everything sound correct, and I kept seeing myself on watchda.com, like, hunched over at the microphone, so I wanted to lower my chair, which probably now looks ridiculous in person because I'm really low to the ground so everything lines up correctly. But I do want to mention my shirt because everyone that's watching can see yours that says, "That's baseball, Susan." An ode to John Sterling and Susan Waldman. You can't see my shirt. And here's me. Now, we've all remember my poor misspeak yesterday during Pro Bono. So I'm on the edge today with my T-shirt. This T-shirt I bought last week from the Durham Bulls, arguably the most famous minor league team in baseball history. They obviously, sadly, cannot play this year. So as a way to raise some money, they're selling these shirts that say 2020.
Oh.
And I'm twisting for the camera. It says 2020. Yes. This is some bull shirt. They're the Durham Bulls. It. Bull shirt. So I hope Pete didn't have a heart attack.
I get it.
Hope everyone sees that R in there if they're reading it. But I love this shirt. I bought it within a second of seeing the tweet. And hopefully next year, minor league baseball in some form or another is back thriving and entertaining us all around the country.
You know, I like that shirt for one specific reason. There are three things in this world I'm a sucker for, Bogus. Three things, okay? Talking animals and television commercials.
Okay.
Any show or movie that has a good fart joke. All right.
Okay.
Lord.
And number three, a play on words that makes you think it's going to be a curse, but they divert away. Like that. This is some bull shirt is quite that diversion. So I'm a sucker for a shirt like that. Those are the three things. If you're ever looking to buy me a gift, those three things, I mean, they give me just a Super Bowl commercial. If you have, like, some kind of camel opening up a bag of Doritos, you will lose me on the floor for 5 minutes. There's no doubt. That's the kind of intellect I have. And it's also why I love the movie, because there's so much bathroom.
Right. Now, you did just say, if you love me and you want to get me something, get me one of these three things. But I'll remind you that one of them is a commercial with a talking animal, which I can't just go to the store and buy. The other is a TV show or a movie with a good fart joke. So I guess I could buy you the DVD and say there's a good fart joke in this movie show, but I can't make you a movie. So the only real thing that I could get you from your wish list is a T-shirt with a play on words. So maybe I'll go back to DurhamBulls.com and send one in your direction.
I appreciate it. Now, there's a little problem here. We don't know if we're a 2X or an XL. That'll be determined in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. You heard my hesitation. I wasn't sure how many X's to put in front of the L, and I didn't want to insult you. So I'll get you one, and you can return it if you have to.
We could touch on the Jays in just a moment, but I do have to get back to Kerrigan's question there. I didn't see that coming. That came out of left field. I don't know if he and Pete the Body coordinated that to have that elevator music up, or if Pete is just that good on a Thursday.
I'm just that good.
But shocker that I didn't know that there were four countries in the United Kingdom, but I cannot believe that there's a Northern Ireland and an Ireland. I only hear people going to Ireland. You never hear people going, "I'm going to Northern Ireland." That's a myth. Bogus, did you honestly know all four countries in the United Kingdom? Be honest.
You know what? I would not have said Northern Ireland was part of the UK, but I know that Northern Ireland exists. That might have stumped me, its inclusion in the UK, but I know it's there and that I was not thrown by its overall existence.
Now, why would the kingdom need to be united if they're all in Europe? That's my next question.
Well, at one point, they were not all in Europe. I mean, I was trying to find that during the break. The United Kingdom at one point, like Canada was at one point, technically part of the UK, like up until 1930-something. So at one time, they were all over the place. Hence, they were being united. Despite not sharing borders, they were united, a united kingdom underneath the British flag.
Interesting. So why isn't Bermuda part of the United Kingdom then? They're under the
British
flag.
So that's what I was trying to get my like refresher course on, is like what islands and other countries are either, you know, just in a tiny way, an unofficial way, still connected to the UK. And all I could find is just these four countries, England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. I could not find even the old list of like UK properties and provinces. But so I can't give you that answer, but the list used to be very long, and now it's only four countries.
I tell you, you never meet anybody from Wales. You never sitting at a restaurant or something like that, and you're, "Oh, where are you from? Where's that accent?" "I'm from Wales." You never hear that. You always get called a whale. Well, somebody like me does. You never hear anybody from Wales. So good for them keeping it strong in that United Kingdom.
Speaking of that, how would you spell the country Wales?
Bogus. I only know this from being an NHL fan my whole life. It's W-A-L-E-S.
Okay, good. Good.
It's not like the whales I know, like the Shamu and the Willie. Mm. They're the W H.
Or the Whalers.
The Hartford Whalers. That has an H in it. W H A L E. That's right. Yes. A whale.
All right.
And there's the Beluga. There's the Humpback. Mm. There's the Oceanic. There's all sorts of whales flopping around. People love the whales when they go whale watching. But there's a Prince of Wales Trophy, or there was, or there still is. Is it still the Prince of Wales Trophy?
It actually might be what you get when you win your conference in the East. Yeah. It still might be called that.
Unbelievable little geography game we've played because it's the A Show. And we've done now the United Kingdom and not the Animal Kingdom, which I think is a win. All right, we come back. It's opening day. What's the wildest prediction we have for baseball season? Overs, unders? We got it all coming up next. Let's get your wet and whistle here for baseball season. It's Bogus and Mraz on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.